Our scripture lesson this morning is from John chapter 8, verses 1 through 11, 31 and 32. But Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. Early in the morning, he came again to the temple. All the people came to him, and he sat down and taught them. The scribes and the Pharisees brought a woman who had been caught in adultery, and placing her in the midst, they said to him, "Teacher, this woman has been caught in the act of adultery. Now, in the law of Moses commanded us to stone such. What do you say about her?" And they said to test him, that they might have some charge to bring against him. Jesus bent down and wrote with a finger on the ground. And as they continued to ask him, he stood up and said to them, "Let him who is without sin among you be the first to throw a stone at her." Once more, he bent down and wrote with his finger in the ground. But when they had heard it, they went away one by one, beginning with the eldest, and Jesus was left alone with the woman standing before him. Jesus looked up and said to her, "Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you?" She said, "No one, Lord." And Jesus says, "Neither do I condemn you. Go and do not sin again." Jesus then said to the Jews who had believed in him, "If you continue in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for your presence. We thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, for you being God. I pray, O Lord, right now that you would use me as you see fit, use me as your mouthpiece, give me clarity of thought, bring everything that you would have for your people to my remembrance. We pray for Pastor in his absence. In your son Jesus' name, let us all say amen. Amen. For this is the day that the Lord has made, and what are we doing? We are rejoicing. Amen, amen. It is a pleasure again to stand. It's an opportunity and a pleasure to speak on behalf of the Lord. Another opportunity to just be used by God in any capacity. All of us have to be used by the Lord. It is a pleasure and it is an opportunity. I do need your prayers as we are going on, not just today, throughout the rest of the day. I have been looking at a passage of scripture, and I am still wondering where the Lord wants this to go. So I do ask your prayers today as the Lord leads this message. Pastor has been taking us through this journey of "It's a Trap." And over the last couple of Sundays, we've been looking at a number of different passages of Scripture all the way back to the beginning of the month of September. September 2nd, we were comparing ourselves back over in Ecclesiastes chapter 4, where we fall into so many traps where we compare one to another. And then we looked at letting others determine our worth. Even though Jesus paid it all, we tend to think of others when it comes to worth. The law tells us that there is something wrong with us because we cannot live up to the law. God tells us, "You're fine because you are mine." And then we looked at another passage of scripture in Matthew 25, chapter 25, verses 14 to 30. Who are you mad at? As we're looking at "It's a Trap." If we by chance don't get this, or if by chance we don't get that, we happen to get mad at God because he didn't do what we thought he should do. And we in this trap of comparison. And then we looked at celebrating others. It's hard to celebrate others' success because of jealousy. And we know that there is no win in comparison, but there is win in celebrating. So we have been looking in the scripture, in the word of God, when it comes to comparison. Today, in the passage of scripture that was read to us, I would like to thank Pastor Jennifer for reading the scripture to us. About comparing ourselves to God's word. We know that we were born sinners. We inherited something called sin from Adam. But there is something that we should compare ourselves to, and it is the word of God. Now, Jesus, he talked about truth. In John chapter 18, a little bit further, around that 38th verse, Pontius Pilate makes a statement and he says, "What is truth?" And I believe some of us have that problem today. We don't know exactly what truth is. We look for truth in the wrong places. We get our news from Facebook. We get our news as far as what's truth, as far as what's trending. We look for truth as far as what's popular. But the Word of God says, "I am the truth." It gives us the rules for life, it gives us the rules for living, and that should be the place that we go for truth. And we who are humans, we who are people, should look to the truth as we are living our lives. I have two purposes here today. Number one, to be an encouragement to believers to continue in God's word. And it's just that simple. In our mission statement, we talk about being disciples for Christ by leading, by inviting, etc. I want us to leave here today with the encouragement to continue in God's word. Because in God's word, that is where we find our guidance for living. My second assignment today is to define what truth is. If the Bible is going to be our source, if the Bible is going to be the place that we go to get our guidance for living, we need to know the truth about what the Bible says. Now, Jesus tells the truth. He told the truth about Satan. He talks to us and he says that Satan is a liar and he is the father of lies. He started lying all the way back in the book of Genesis. Even prior to that, Satan has been lying. When we have been going through our journey talking about comparison, that comes from Satan as far as comparing ourselves to others. In Matthew 15, verse 19, it says, "Out of the heart proceedeth evil thoughts and adulteries and all other sins that we commit." It all because of Satan is within us. We have a heart that has been corrupted by Satan. The Lord also tells us in his word the truth about we as people. We are sinners. We inherited this sinful nature. But then also he tells us in his word the truth about himself. He tells us the truth about his love. John 3:16, it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son." He also tells us the truth about judgment. When an angry God, there is a time for judgment, which is a part of his love. He tells us also the truth about repentance. And then he also tells us the truth about conversion. Conversion is the thing that I'm curious about. When we hear the word of God, what is the process in your mind? What goes on? Do we come to church every Sunday and we go through the motion, we hear the word, and then we just go ahead and exit to continue on to do what we have always done? Or is it something that goes on where you hear the word of God and it converts you to leave changed, to never be the same? We won't leave here like you came. And then, of course, Jesus tells us the truth about obedience. If you love me, you will obey. So Jesus tells the truth about Satan. He tells us the truth about mankind. And he also tells us the truth about God. In the story, John chapter 8, it starts off in our series, It's a Trap. This is the story almost like it's a trap within a trap. The scribes and the Pharisees wanted to trap Jesus. Jesus was on his way to the cross, and he was going from town to town teaching people about himself, and he was doing miracles. And as he was going on, there were those who were believing on him, but yet there were individuals who were trying to kill him. In the word of God, it says, "For my time has not come as of yet." But the scribes and the Pharisees wanted to trap Jesus, so they brought a lady before Jesus who had been caught in adultery. Now that says a lot right there. For they knew this lady was committing adultery. And they brought this lady because they knew that Jesus pretty much was in the synagogue talking to the people. So we have one group of people who was there to hear the word of God. Then we have another group of people there that was there to trap Jesus. So they brought the woman in front of Jesus and they said, "Teacher," which acknowledges his authority, who they thought Jesus is, "what should we do to this lady? Moses said," back in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 22, "Moses said that she should be stoned for committing adultery." Now, was this woman guilty of committing adultery? Yes, she was. But it was a trap. If Jesus says, "Stone her," or if Jesus says, "Do not stone her," he would have been caught between a rock and a hard place, no pun intended. But they wanted to discredit him. It was a trap. So as they pursued Jesus by asking him questions, what should she do? And the woman stood right there in front of the crowd after being caught in adultery. Jesus just turned his back and began to write on the ground. Now, the scripture doesn't tell us what he wrote on the ground or anything. He just turned and he wrote on the ground. And they're constantly pressing him. "What should we do to this lady? Moses said," because the Pharisees and the scribes, they were the ones who were very knowledgeable when it came down to the law. They were the law keepers. They knew the law, and they made sure that the law was upheld. But again, they had a motive to go ahead and trap Jesus. So Jesus finally stands up, and he says to them, who are without sin cast the first stone, being that that was part of the law as well. You who are without sin cast the first stone. And then he goes back down and starts to write on the ground. And one by one, all of them start to leave the scene, starting from the eldest down to the youngest. And at that point, nobody was standing there but the lady herself. And as Jesus stood up, he says, "Where did they go?" "They're gone, my Lord." In the scripture, when she says Lord, that says to me that she now is a believer. For we know that if he by chance is not Lord of all, he's not Lord at all. But she acknowledged him as her Lord. "Where are they that want to condemn you?" "They're gone." "Well, then I don't condemn you either." Now, what that says to me, we can put any sin there. It doesn't have to be committing adultery. It can be anything. It can be lying. It can be stealing. Whatever sin you have done, whatever sin I have done, I am no longer condemned. Jesus says, "You are no longer condemned." But then he says in the scripture, he says, "Go and sin no more." Now that's the part right there that pretty much we can pretty much should be converted by. If we have been forgiven from the sins of our past, we should stop doing those things. If we have been forgiven of our past, we can live a life free of guilt. Because as we've been going through this series of comparing, the thing that has been pretty much bothering me is comparing ourselves to ourselves. Sometimes we look at our own past, and sometimes we look at where we should be or where we want to be. And that shame sometimes holds us back. And it prevents us from moving forward. But here in the Word of God, it says, "I am forgiven from my sins of the past." Amen? Amen. That is the good news. Where my past has now been clean, I am forgiven. In the scripture it says, "Now to you that believe, I want you to continue in my teachings. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free." I am now free. I am now free from my sins of the past. But if you continue in my word, what is it about this word? What is it about, "If I hide thy word in my heart, I will not sin against thee"? So that means that I'm free from sins of the past. I'm even free from the sins in the future. Because there are some times, Paul says, "Even though I plan to do good, evil is present on every hand. But because of God's grace, because of the mercy of God, I have coverage. I have a safety. I have a Savior who frees me from sin." As we prayed this morning, "Forgive us our debts as we forgive those." Amen. So we thank God for his grace. We thank God for his mercy. We thank God just for giving us forgiveness of sin. But yet, there is something over in the book of Romans. Because I don't want us to get the impression that because God has forgiven us of the sins of the past, and we have this grace that's going to cover us, just in case I happen to sin in the future. Romans 6 says, "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound?" Should I just keep on going, knowing that God's grace is just going to cover me? Is it okay for me to come in and hear the word of God? I was watching a movie last week or a couple of weeks ago, and a guy says, "God is great. He forgives me every day, for I'm the biggest sinner out there." And then the gentleman who's looking at him, he says, "You know, God is great, but he's all-knowing. Every sin that I do, God knows about it." Romans 6:1 says, "What shall we say? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized unto Jesus Christ were baptized to his death?" Because he died for us, because of him dying on the cross, it is his blood that pretty much covers our sins from the past. 1 Corinthians 15, chapter 3. But it is the cross that takes care of the sinner, our sins from the future. And we thank God for that. So what I want to leave with you today is, what is truth? It is God's word that is truth. God's word gives us truth in how to live. It is God's truth that gives us directions in how we give. It is God's word that pretty much we should compare ourselves. Are we angels? No, we are not angels. But God left us an assignment to be here in the world to make disciples. And the best way to make disciples in the earth is through your life. I'd rather see a sermon preached any day than hear one. And your life is a sermon. Amen? Amen. Amen.